Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Well, it's the first time in the Stanley Cup playoffs a team advances, another avoids elimination, and another two will try to repeat the feat tonight. We welcome you into Hockey Central at noon on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks, also on the NHL Network south of the border in the good old U.S. of A. Leah Hextall filling in for Darren Millard, along with the boys, Billy Jaffe and PJ Stock. PJ, you look lovely today, by the
way. Thank you, Leah. Yes. I love your honesty.
Yes, I'm an honest girl. All right, boys, so here we go. For the first time in the Stanley Cup playoffs, a team advances. It is the Anaheim Ducks. They sweep the Winnipeg Jets, earning a 5-2 victory in Winnipeg last night in Game 4. And what the Jets could not do, the Ottawa Senators did. They avoid elimination to the Montreal Canadiens. They pitch a 1-0 shutout. Craig Anderson, 28 saves, the goal coming off the stick of the rookie Mike Hoffman, his first career playoff goal. And PJ, we've seen what the Ottawa Senators can do with momentum. They got one win, they got an uphill climb. But can they make a series out of this against Montreal, or will the Canadiens drop the hammer at the Bell Center in Game 5?
You know what, I really thought Ottawa would be in a different situation right now in the series. I really did. I thought the way Hammond was playing coming into the series, I thought the way the Senators were playing, and you look at the Montreal Canadiens and their offense, and you're just not sure where it would come from. And the same way the Canadiens got through the playoffs last year, they're doing it again this year. They have guys that just, you know, Dale Weiss one night pots in 2 goals. The other night, it's the fourth line. You know that when I compared these teams, I thought Ottawa would be in a better position because I didn't think Montreal's top-end talent with Pacioretty injured, and considering weighing everybody up against each other, the price factor is the one issue. But I thought that besides that, Ottawa would have a better chance. Now that they got up by 3 games, you cannot beat Carey Price 4 games in a row. That's just, you're not beating Carey Price.
No.
Not the team. But you're not beating Carey Price 4 games in a row. So I'm kind of in a jam there.
After game one, we talked about doing the show. We talked about should the Ottawa Senators say, damn, we lost an opportunity when Carey Price gave up 3 goals? Or, hey, you know what? He's human. We can score more. It looks like we should have won that game, that first game. And because then you say, how many times is he going to give up, you know, more than 2 goals in a game, and he did it, and then yet they didn't win the game. I just don't see Ottawa coming back against Montreal, and that is not disrespectful to Ottawa. It's
right.
Just Montreal, they find a way. I don't know how the hell they do it. They find a way to win. And it's to PJ's point, they did the same thing last year. I lived it. I saw it with the Boston Bruins in that series where you said, really? And then, yeah, you say, you tip your hat because you say, yeah, really, they do it.
Why do we all do – why are we – I'm in Montreal all the time, and I watch the Canadiens, and I just –
because we're dumb.
Hold on.
Because we're stubborn. Yeah.
I think when you look at the makeup of a team, a successful team, we'll flip to Anaheim and Winnipeg in a second, but you look at the Montreal Canadiens, and there's not too many things that flash, you know, stand out at you. They got an old defense core or some young rookie kids that aren't proven besides PK. Up front, they don't have a centerman on their top two lines that's over 5'11". Their wingers, no one really stands out too much. Pacioretty's having a great year, but it's just...
they're not what you envision to be, right? Meaning what you... A dominant team
would. Look at the Kings, the Hawks, the teams that have won the last few years, yet...
but they have the price factor.
They win.
I think we don't give enough credit to all of them. We really don't. I mean, they're one of the top teams in the East. The top teams in the National Hockey League. Yes, Carey Price, but it's more than just one
By the way, we're not alone. Everybody says... there's just no way they can – they'll do well, but there's just no way they can do it. And all they do is they keep doing it.
You got to give the Ottawa Senators, though, guys, a little bit of credit, especially their head coach in Dave Cameron. I mean, he made some adjustments last night. The safe move would have likely been to gone with Hammond. He goes with Anderson, pays off.
I don't know.
In an elimination game?
No, not after – I don't think so. Okay. Not the way Craig Anderson played in Game 3. I wasn't sure if he was going to go with Craig Anderson – or Andrew Hammond in Game 3 to begin with. Was he going to go back to Hammond because saying, listen, he was not good in 2. Not good. But he's the guy who got you here.
Exactly.
But then he makes the choice. See, to me, the choice was made in Game 3. And it was easy. And once after Anderson played that well in Game 3, it was easy for me for Game 4.
I'm with you on that. I think Hammond is, he got him there and is an amazing story and deserves a contract and deserves whatever you can do for him. I don't think he was, you know, it's, remember, he's an American League guy that had it.
Yeah, but if you have Craig Anderson in net last night, he gets lit up. That opens Cameron to question, saying, why didn't you go with the guy who got you?
Because he
there?
Was so good in three.
Yeah.
Craig Anderson was so good in three that that's when you just, listen, you're at the point right now where you just go with your gut, you go with it, and of course it opens up second guessing, third guessing, and gives us stuff to talk about on shows like this. But for the most part, see, I thought the bigger decision for me was the game three choice.
Okay.
And then, you know, if Craig hadn't played well, you see Hammond back in.
Well, Anderson's going to have to be good in game five.
Yes.
We know that for sure as it ventures onto the Bell Center come up Friday night. Let's switch gears now. We have our first team marching on to the second round, the Anaheim Ducks. They move on. It's a sweep of the Winnipeg Jets, a 5-2 victory last night. And the Anaheim Ducks, the top team in the West, but I have a feeling both of you guys right now have man crushes on a particular player. There's no arguing who was the best player in this series. Was there, guys?
You know, as much as I'm upset about Ottawa being in the position they are, I'm devastated by what happened in Winnipeg. I really am. I really thought Winnipeg had a team. I knew that Anaheim was a powerhouse coming in. I knew that your man crush or your favorite, Kessler, player made that team that much better. And we didn't know how they'd be in the playoffs with their young goaltending. I just thought Winnipeg, they really had some special pieces to that team, and I thought they could do something special by... I really thought this was almost a pick'em in this series. I really did. Mm-hmm. Man, was I wrong.
Absolutely.
Like, just...
Listen, I picked... I love Anaheim. I've known Bruce Boudreau for a long time. And on a personal level, love the guy. But, I mean, I'm saying I picked Winnipeg to upset in this series. I went with the...
As did I.
I guess the tidal wave.
Pick in this one. It was. Yeah.
But now I picked Montreal. I didn't think Ottawa would have it when it was all said and done.
Oh, that's how you doing yourself? You're like,
I felt a little better.
I might have made a mistake in Winnipeg, but I got Montreal.
Put it this way. I got the knife here and then a little pat on the back here. No, and absolutely wrong on this one. I give, first of all, I think Freddie Anderson underrated, undervalued in this series because there were so many question marks about it. I remember talking to Bob Murray over this last summer, and he admitted to me, we were out at a golf outing, he said, I'm putting a lot of faith in young goaltenders. He says, it's going to live or die with it. We couldn't be talking about Kessler, we wouldn't be talking about, you know, Getzlaff, Perry, anything, if Frederick Anderson wasn't just calm. That's what he hasn't had to steal anything, but he's been damn good.
But we have to talk about Kessler, guys.
Kessler's been great. No, he's been phenomenal. This team, to me, and I watched Lindholm last night, and boy, did he continues to impress. I keep forgetting he's 6'3", 210, 15 pounds. I think he's smaller than
210, 15 pounds?
Well, you know, give or take, depending on what he eats.
2,100.
I've never been good with math. But this team, and yes, Kessler fills him out up front. This team has been, they were really impressive.
Are you more impressed with Anaheim, both you, or more upset with the way Winnipeg kind of fit themselves?
I'll take Anaheim.
I take Anaheim well, because I think one thing that we saw there, and, you know, Billy, we've talked about this before on Hockey Central, the late night, you know, the late night edition. The fact that Anaheim all year, even though they were a top team in the Western Conference, always hovering around there, we didn't know if they were really legit. There was always question marks about them. But we saw their depth in this series. You look at the guys that produced, Cogliano, Bolesky, Hampus Lindholm, to his point, Clayton Stoner, Cam Fowler on the back end. It really makes me feel now, after watching this series and the fact they swept a team like Winnipeg, that this is a Ducks team that could make a go.
Did they sweep a team like Winnipeg? This is where I'm stuck. It almost goes back to the Montreal thing because I'm looking at the Ducks right now and how they won, and they were down in every third period almost of every game.
Storyline.
And like, I hate using the term stupid to just, like, I with my kids, don't use the word
yeah,
stupid.
Yeah, never. That
not
or hate.
About, that, right. Or hate, right. Right. But some of the penalties that these guys took in this series, they did it all year long. They took the most minors of any team in the National Hockey League all year long. Playoffs, you kind of give them the bye because, you know, the playoffs are here. You got to change things up. But some of the penalties that they took, I mean, the Andrew Ladd penalty, the more I watch it, it was a high stick penalty where he kind of...
On Getzlaff, yeah.
On Getzlaff. But it looks like he... I'm in my head, I'm like, there's no way he actually hit him in the head. It's kind of he doesn't see him. But the more I look at it, it looks like he's like, there he's there. I'm going to get him a jab. And then the Byfuglien one. Byfuglien on Corey Perry. Byfuglien totally loses Corey Perry, which is... another thing of discipline in his own zone. He loses. That's the play right there. Busplin goes the wrong way, and then that's just stupid.
Yeah,
could have been a five. Could have been a five.
I don't like that term, but there's no other way to describe it. You know,
no,
you're
that's
mad
foolish.
At yourself.
That's selfish, by the way. That's selfish. It's a selfish penalty, and I'm a huge fan of Bufflin's, but that was selfish.
But was he more of a liability to Winnipeg in this series than he was an asset?
That's why I like him as a forward. That's why I like Bufflin as a forward. I like him as a defense because of how big he is, but I like him as a forward on the forecheck. The problem with Dustin in his own zone at times is the exact goal that you just showed. He gets lost in his own zone on shifts, and you give a player like Corey Perry or Getzlaff or any one of the guys you named before an opening. The skill set of all these guys is so great. They need a second. They need or half a second to get open to make a change the angle of a play. It could be in the back of your net. And that play in particular right there. And then he's frustrated that he made that mistake. And then what do? You punch a guy in the back of the head.
It was a selfish penalty he took when he got suspended for four games against the Rangers, JT Miller. It was. He saw, he knew. For a hockey player, that was a long amount of time to decide what he's going to do there. The same thing with that play right there. You're not going to get away with it, by the way, after the goal. You know, everybody's going to see it. They're going to get it right there. But I will say this. I think the Winnipeg Jets, led by Kevin Cheveldayoff, coached by Paul Maurice, I am confident. I sure hope I'm right on this. I am confident, though, that this team will learn so much from this first-round loss between those two guys that lead the team. I mean, I've known Kevin Cheveldayoff forever. I've known him for – and I just think the world of him because while he's intense and he's this and that, he's also a real intellect hockey guy, and he's going to learn from this series. And he saw it with Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, he was with them as an assistant there. And Paul Maurice, I think, is a hell of a coach. They'll learn from this. They'll tweak their lineup, and they'll make kind of adjustments. I expect this team for the next few years to be in the playoffs and be around it.
I really wanted this team to win for two reasons. One, to make my prediction sound a little smarter.
Me too.
And actually three reasons. For all these people that we work with from Winnipeg. It seems like everyone from Winnipeg now works over here, Leah. And the third thing is that city. I really wanted that city to get a win. Like, I really wanted that city. They were...
But what's wrong with making it to the first round and feeling great about this
just
team?
Just give a win. Just give them one win.
One win. I think I'm in a series.
No,
win.
No.
I just wanted them...
I would have preferred if they won game three and then lose game four and then go back. Just give them... It is an awesome story. They're great fans. And I just wanted to give them a little bit of love.
I have to give the Winnipeg Jets franchise, though, credit. Because when they returned to Winnipeg, there was a five-year plan. They wanted to be a playoff team within the 5 years. Mm-hmm. They succeeded in doing that. Yes, they got swept, but they have succeeded. And a lot of that, to Billy's point, is to do with the upper management
I think this run... And I think this crowd and I think the publicity, all these things that come
How
around with it.
How do you not want that happening all the time?
Well, but I think what that will do is now we always talk about free agents not wanting to go to certain markets.
Good point.
I think this will help now because they're going to say, geez, I saw these players there and I saw the fans there and I see the management and I see the money being spent. I wouldn't mind being a part of it.
Who cares if it's minus 40?
Look, it's minus whatever. You guys got to give me your Celsius read today here. I think fans will have a huge part, so kudos to you, Winnipeg fans, for helping attract free agents to a place that might have been deemed tougher.
It's not a sexy pick when it comes to that. Like, Edmonton and Winnipeg are probably right up there at the top of the list of, the Edmonton situation, I don't want to go down that, but even though they got Connor McDavid, and it's still a tough place.
Got to win. Got to win.
You have to win, and it's tough. And you're right, like you said, Winnipeg did not win, but it showed the league that it's an awesome place to play.
Yeah.
So and their team, you look at their pieces that they have.
Go on.
The back end, their defense.
How about the four or five guys that are not even in the NHL?
Like Patan and all these kids coming up. They've got some great prospects coming up.
Kapavlik, I'm stuck on him.
He needed to save that goal last night. I'm not trying to hang it on him, but when they got within a goal and Kessler comes down, that's where your goalie's got to be there.
I'm stuck on, is he... I think he's had some amazing moments, but the team really, really took off under Hutchison. Throughout the year.
But then Pavlik came back.
I know, but it's just, to do it, you have to be able to do it for an entire year for that team to be successful.
Why is this, he's part of the process as they go forward. They're saying, we are going to learn from this. Now, they're going to take what Andre Pavlik did the last third. I don't have the number of games in front of me, but of the season when he reestablished himself as the anchor of that team in net. And they're going to say he was a little more passive in his crease. He wasn't as overactive. He's a little calmer, all those things. And now what can we take from our experience that you learned in the playoffs and go forward from there? And remember, they also have goaltending prospects, well, yeah, too. Connor Hellebuck in the minors, Comrie in the minors. This team, Kevin Cheveldayoff and his crew, have done a beautiful job in his few years there of stocking this thing up.
Yeah, I got to give Craig Heisinger, the AGM there, the guy who's really responsible for really going out there and getting some of these young players that they have and just doing a heck of a job in there for Winnipeg. So the Anaheim Ducks, they're moving on. They're going to wait for the winner between Calgary and Vancouver, and that series could be over tonight. Yeah. We know rest is important in the playoffs, but for this Anaheim team, how important is it to also get a chance to practice?
Practice.
What do you mean practice?
It's important.
Come on.
Is it in the playoffs or no?
I would rather combo.
I think you don't really work on anything besides special teams. That's probably the most important thing you have to work on in special teams. A little systems here and there, flow, but rest. Your rest is great, but you don't want to lose that. You don't want to have a week off. A week off is a long time. Like it's when you're hot, you're hot.
But wouldn't you rather have the week off now versus later in the playoffs, where we've seen it happen between 7 and 11 days, where that takes away even though you're deeper in the playoffs and you think you are more banged up, more injured, more whatever, more tired. It seems to take that edge away then. It seems like 4 to 5 days off between series later in the playoffs is better. This right now, you'd rather have the week. I would think I've seen it where it's more beneficial now than it is later.
All right. Well, we're going to continue to march on here to another game last night. The New York Rangers are going to head back home to MSG, and they have a chance to close this out as they defeated Pitt last night in overtime. And they've got a 3-1 stranglehold on this series. Guys, is Pitt dead in the water?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're done.
You know what? I'm excited for Pittsburgh to lose. And this, I don't mean it this way.
But you just said it, so I'm interested to hear this.
Because I'm excited to see how they react this summer. I want to see how they take this loss. Because they, for a team that has been so good for so long or expected to have way more successes, considering the personnel that they have not.
Well, do they get a pass? Do they get a pass because of the injuries to Mata?
Every year?
I'm not saying we. I'm asking in general. Do they get a pass from
Letang and
no Erhoff, no Letang. Only Mata to me, along with Letang, is the real big one. There's a lot of tension from what I hear going on.
That's what I'm saying. Is it? It's crazy to say, but they won once with the two-headed monster. They don't have depth anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Is the one $11 million player better than three million dollar players and a $2 million player? Like, do you blow this up? And it's crazy, but I can totally see them looking at this situation and being, it's not working. We're not winning.
Yeah.
Last year, they shook up the front office. This seems to be the only scenario now if they get ousted in the first round.
But who's going to do it in the front office? Because
that's
you have
a
new general manager there
that's trigger to pull.
Is on a short, who admitted and said it from the day he was hired. He's on a very short-term deal there. It's only 2 years. So does somebody take over then? Who's in charge of that? You bring in a new coach. Are you looking for that? I mean, they're not dead yet. I don't think even if they win another game, I don't see them winning three in a row. I don't see them. Listen, the Rangers, to me, I touch on them. They didn't really have their crazy speed game going last night, but they've been playing really well defensively. Both one goal they got off a breakout cross-ice pass, they got it in, but both goals were scored from right in front of the net. I mean, combined distance for both goals scored by the Rangers last night would be about 9 inches. You know, maybe a little, maybe a foot and a half. Sorry, maybe a little more because Hayes was the rebound came to him for the overtime goal. But the Brassard goal was literally stuff job right there. But they were crashing the front of the net. And so they're showing to me their ability to win games different ways. The Penguins, they just haven't been able to score. They don't have enough depth and they don't have enough ability to move the puck from back to front where you can then utilize these guys' speed. But the Rangers, what do they have, 19 blocks last night? I mean, the Rangers really doing a good job, fellas. They really are.
One guy that we're to mention all the guys on the back end that are missing because of injury. Pascal Dupuis hurts him a lot as well. He's not one of the big names in the game that we all really talk about because of, you know, he's on a team with so many other superstars. But Pascal Dupuis is a big helper to Sidney Crosby. And what he does is he's an easy guy to put on a top line that no one really cares about because he plays with Sidney Crosby, but it bumps someone else to the second line and the third line.
And he just kills penalties.
It makes the team a lot of those hard minutes. That he does with a smile, and it's not like someone that you really put too much pressure on because there's so many other bodies there, big names, but he does everything so well, and I think they've really missed him
this
year.
They've resisted playing Crosby and Malkin together. Except power play, they've resisted. They being the coach, Mike Johnson leading the way there. Didn't you think? At least I thought. And sitting at home, being at home, if you can get away from the McDonough, the Girardi. I mean, don't you once in a while put them together at even strength? Don't you try that a little?
Last year, I really think that's what cost Bilesma his job. I thought playing, not getting them away from Dubinsky. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the same thing this year.
We talked last night about it, PJ. I mean, you don't have to do it every shift, but don't you try neither of them. I mean, they had a total of 4 shots attempted last night. I believe 3 hit the net. That's what it was. Combined, yep, between the two of them.
Yep.
Don't you a little bit, and this is, I understand the game is real simple from above and outside, but this is one thing. If you can get them away with no Klein, the Rangers D crew is not as stout, perhaps. I mean, they're still darn good. They've been great, but don't you move them away from Girardi and McDonough if you can?
What are you thinking on the backside happens?
Meaning what? When you bring them back out there?
When you put them together. We're already saying they don't have a ton of depth already.
Well, but I'm saying you just get them out there on a few shifts at 5-on-5. Yeah. End of periods. You put them out there. If you see the opponent not put out their top D crew, you call up, I mean, wouldn't you say, all right, quickly, even if it's for 30 seconds, Crosby, you head out with Malkin out here. You know, I mean, wouldn't you a little bit? I mean, double shift. This is what you're paying these guys so much for.
That's the issue. Why don't they get double shifted more?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Once in a while.
Crosby doesn't kill penalties.
Right.
You know, so there's lots of moments in a game where I understand when I was a fourth line guy and making X, and the guy on the first line was making $8 million, that he's going to be playing in every situation at all time. That's why they pay him all that money. I don't think they use their top money guys as much as they probably could. Especially,
I know they don't want to wear them out, but this is when you do wear out guys.
So how does Pittsburgh approach game 5?
I like New York. I like New York in 5. I've always... Yeah. I think the way Pittsburgh finished the season, that's why I'm excited. I actually wanted them to lose in 4. I don't want to say that because I have friends on Pittsburgh and in the organization, and I really love that organization people-wise. But I really want to know what's going to happen. Is this the year? Like, I think it just gives me like that much more ammunition to be like, let's blow this up. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason, because I shouldn't be saying this. I do have a bunch of friends on Pittsburgh and in that group, and I want them all to do well. But I really want to, if it's not working and it hasn't worked, and it's, everyone's always said, would they ever make this move? Man, now is the time.
It's amazing. Now you got a couple of teams thinking about big moves. What are they going to do in LA? Mm-hmm. We haven't heard much from there. It's interesting. Everybody's given them kind of that free pass because of how good they've been over the last
2
years.
2 cups, 3 years, long no summers.
Western final, Olympics, everything.
Sure.
Now they have some off-ice issues that they have to deal with. They could shake the team up, or will shake the team up for them no matter what, mm-hmm. obviously right there. What do they do? What does Boston do? What does Pittsburgh do if we're assuming that they're going to lose the series? I won't say we. I am. Won't speak for you guys, but I assume that they are. What are they going to do? These are three what you would call major, major draw franchises that all of a sudden this year, boom,
you know,
shake up city.
A team which is a great story is going to have a major shakeup. Is going to be Chicago,
especially after the contracts kick in next year. My goodness,
they
got to win it this year.
They're going for it all.
But you're right. Like they're a good story.
Yeah.
That have to break up their team because and I think that's a little bit with Pittsburgh. They have a few guys making so much money. You can't go out and get all those extra. The salary cap
they
is.
They don't have the back end that Chicago has.
Yeah, well,
that's the difference.
We love Chicago,
right?
But
how do you not love Chicago?
Yeah,
yeah.
They look good
tough.
Again.
It's tough. They look
good
real
again.
Good.
I mean, it's.
They do, and I don't know if they fell into it with Scott Darling or not. I mean, I give Scott Darling all the credit for getting himself straightened out, you know, figured out training wise. Phenomenal athlete for this team, but to then have the foresight to say, yeah, let's sign him as our third, fourth guy, you know? I mean, literally, he was a third, fourth guy. And then to see him rise, oh, man.
Well, he's going to be looking for his fourth straight win tonight against Nashville. We'll see if he can do it there. But one more series to touch on from last night, and that was the Blues and Wild. And Pittsburgh can't score goals, but St. Louis went in and lit up Mini 6-1, led by...
But St. Louis really can't score either.
Yes, but last night they did. We saw them explode in that. But Devan Dubnyk, we also saw him be quite human. 6 goals on 17 shots. Do we write this off, though, guys? It's just a bad night for the Wild.
I do right now.
Yeah.
It can't become a trend. Obviously that, but yeah, I write it off. I do for now. I don't have right now history for the Minnesota Wild, not just Devan Dubnyk, but for the Wild as a team to say they're no good because they had one bad game in the playoffs. Is it going to be tough? Absolutely. But this is the playoffs. This is what they expected against St. Louis, not six against, but this is what they expected. And St. Louis finally really got to the front, really making life tough. And then Tarasenko can do his magic other ways.
I don't think the score isn't the way the game was actually played. 6-1 is, it's just one of those nights. Once you get to 3-1, you know you're in a bit of trouble. And then 4.
And it was 3-0 within like 10 minutes of the first period. Yeah.
And then it's almost one of those nights where you know they're a tough team to come back on. And it's not that you check out, but mentally you don't have the same edge drive that you were prepared to have. And it's not a write-off, but it's kind of, you're right. Like, the games, it's easy. Just don't let Tarasenko score, and they don't win. It's 2 last night, 3 game 2,
game
I believe,
two, yeah.
was.
Yeah.
And the other night...
And the other night, he doesn't get shot.
Yeah, he doesn't get a shot, they lose. So, it's just, man, they're a good team. But when he's going, they don't have a ton of offense on that team. They have a ton of guys that play really well within the structure and in the system. When he's going, Tarasenko is... I think everyone else builds off it and feeds off it as well. And that last night was one of the nights where he might not have scored 2, but he also did some plays where you sit back and you go, this guy's special.
Well, the second goal, very similar to the one he did against the New York Rangers, which is probably best goal of the year.
Yeah, it was great. If you don't force Minnesota, their defense, their biggest defenseman is, I think, a 6'1", 206 that plays. And that's Jordan Leopold. The next biggest is 6'1", 205. Okay, so my point is, I'm like, God, they're D, they really can't be, you know, really? And all these guys do on Minnesota is they fly. That is a nasty move, as we show on the tees.
Like, when you're on the bench, what are you, you're like, you're fist pumping. You're like, you're so pumped to see that happen.
Now, he's smiling.
And he's a young kid. Right, so you see him smiling, him
infectious
doing that.
Just enthusiasm.
You're like
being around you, PJ.
Like, yes, that's exactly what it is. You're like on the bench, and you're like, woo-hoo-hoo. Did you see that?
How was that again?
He's just having a great time. That's what's great about this kid, and that's what's different about him from a lot of the other St. Louis Blues. Is that kind of, you know, have fun type. You know, he hasn't been coached that long by these guys, so he's just going out and doing his thing. And to the coaching staff credit, led by Ken Hitchcock, they've just let him be. For the most part. And you need that on your team. But my point about this, about Minnesota's D, they're so good at moving with the puck and getting into the play. If you don't have them into their own zone, that's finally what St. Louis did last night. You're not going to beat them. You're going to have a hard time beating them, put it that way. They didn't allow it. But yes, Tarasenko, to me, the energy that he has, the smile. I mean, is he a... Who's he like? Does he remind you of a Kovalev, his ability to do things?
No, he has more speed than Kovalev.
Yeah. But he's got hands like Kovalev.
That's a good question. Who does he remind me of? Oh, boy. I'm going to say this name wrong because I used to play against him all the time. But in the Afinogenov?
Afinogenov. Maxim Afinogenov.
Yeah. That's it. He was speed and hands and had everything. And I kept thinking that he would bring his game to the next level. And he just never was able to do it. And I see Tarasenko do what he does, and I'm thinking this kid could have been like this, just never got there.
So the series is tied at 2 apiece. Who do you guys got between St. Louis and Minnesota?
I still like Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I still like Minnesota.
I picked St. Louis to win the series.
So did I.
I picked that. Why, I don't really know. I just figured, you know, that if they're going to do well, it's got to be this year. I'm a big fan of a lot of people in Minnesota too. This to me was one of the toughest series to pick.
Because of the goaltending for me in St.
Yeah,
Louis. That was a question mark for me regarding why I like Minnesota. And
I didn't feel good about my pick after game 3, that's for sure, but you know, we'll see. This hasn't been the sexiest series.
No.
It hasn't been.
Kind of knew it wouldn't be, though, with, you know,
how
these teams play.
St. Louis isn't a real sexy team, though. Right. That's why we love Tarasenko, because he's the one guy that's kind of
the highlights.
Outside of the norm. They are just a hard-working, grind-you-down hockey team. Like, they don't have a, you know, their defense is very mobile. Great puck handlers, great puck movers. But up front, you know, they're a lot like their captain in Backes. Mm-hmm. They're just big and hard-nosed and grind you, and stick to your system, and get, I don't want to call it the cheesy goal, but that hard-working goal that is the garbage goal. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, drive the net and, you know, we'll take it off the pant, off the leg, but we're going to consistently keep doing it until we get it. And I think that's the biggest thing, and that's why you add in the flash of Tarasenko. They just don't have it. And on the flip side, look at Minnesota. I think they have a lot more flashy pieces, but like you said, there's some flaws in their armor as well. Their defense are small.
Yeah, but they're so mobile.
Yeah.
They are. So, I don't know if there's a more active D in the offensive zone than these guys coming in. I mean, I've watched them numerous times this year, and I was like, you can't get the puck out sometimes against these guys. But they have more speed, but I don't know about more flash. You know, they're led by Parise, who is, if there's a player, he's got to be up there with the Hossas, the Taves, the Datsuks, whatever, that is so hard on the puck where it is all the time. I mean, the battle level right there. But that, to me, you talk about Backes leading St. Louis, kind of that style. Parise is kind of that, you know, that way.
Their straw that stirs their drink.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, when we come back, my favorite segment and everyone else's as well, Three Stars. The boys are going to battle over it because we had quite the discussion about it. But you're listening to Hockey Central at noon on the Sportsnet radio and television networks, also on the NHL Network south of the border. And we will have the Three Stars for you when we return.
That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We welcome you back to Hockey Central at noon on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks and in the United States on the NHL Network. Leah Hextall filling in for Darren Millard alongside Billy Jaffe and PJ Stock. And it is everyone's favorite time of day. We are now going to go cue the music to get the three stars of the night. PJ, you love this.
It's the best part of the show.
All right, I'm going to give it to my friend Billy. He gets to
pick.
Hold
on.
No.
Let us soak up the music.
Are you done?
Okay.
Billy, you go first, my friend.
That's his, by the way. That is his.
I can't believe he has a job.
That's his dance from Caddyshack. He's the gopher. He's the gopher. He moves just like this. That's how he dances. And that's.
You need to melt.
You guys are something right now with your moves. I gotta say,
he's the gopher. He's, you know, we need his Bill Murray looking for him. You know, I'm not gonna get into the whole thing that happened, but I was gonna give my stars to somebody else.
Do it, Billy. Do it.
Just
throw him right under
there.
The bus.
I'm just gonna
do
leave it.
It
out there. But to me, the guy we just touched on, Vladimir Tarasenko. He brought energy, he brought style, he brought flair, and he brought two goals and a 7 or 8 shot attempts for the St. Louis Blues. There was a bunch of guys last night I could have picked as a star. Again, I won't say that somebody else took mine after I already made it, but I will go with Vladimir Tarasenko, and I'll do it happily. The other guy I was debating with was Craig Anderson. Oh, no, that wasn't the other guy I was talking about. I'll just leave it out there. I'd love to.
Who
Craig
was
Anderson.
The other guy,
so
PJ?
The way we work on these stars, we get in the morning and we talk about who we like, and Billy responded first and said, I really like Ryan Kessler. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. He deserves some love. I like Ryan Kessler too. And they're like, PJ, you can't do that. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't do that? Well, Billy already picked him. I'm like, I don't care. We all should be picking Ryan Kessler after the monster game that he had last night. So I jumped on Billy's back. But Billy's like, no, PJ, you can have him. And I'm like, no, you have him. He's like, no, you have him. And then you had him.
I just figured you know, you have the experience and you have.
What a game by Kessler last night. We both agreed 100%. Ryan Kessler's, huge, massive game. He's that guy that.
Great
you,
series.
You Great series. You hate. But man, you want him on, your,
on
team,
your team.
Eh? How big does that trade look now?
You know, Bob Murray, mad genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just walked through a team that we thought had a good chance against them in Winnipeg.
Yep.
And Vancouver could be done. You know, it's not one guy, but he has just been great.
Yep.
Do I get to pick a star?
Of course.
Yes.
Sure. Always.
My star is the head coach of the Ottawa Senators because Doug McLean is in here. I've got to give a mandatory shout out to somebody from PEI, but I'm giving it to Coach Cameron, and this is why. He showed some faith.
You're having a great show.
In his youngster, Mike Hoffman, and he put him back up on the second line with Bobby Ryan and Mika Zibanejad, and it paid off in spades. Probably did as much to try to get Bobby Ryan going as much as Hoffman, but I thought that was a smart move. I thought it was a shrewd move by the coach, and he went with his gut with Anderson, so I'm giving it to the head coach of the Ottawa Senators as they stave off elimination.
Well, you're wrong.
Okay.
It was Kessler.
We know it was Kessler, but we have to have diversity on the show, PJ. It's not all about you.
It's about Kessler.
All right. Kessler, two goals in that game last night. They were massive as Anaheim punches their ticket to move on. Another team that can punch their ticket to move on is the Calgary Flames tonight. They're up 3-1 over the Vancouver Canucks. You can see that game, CBC, 10 o'clock Eastern. Here we go, guys. The Vancouver Canucks on the verge of elimination. Is this where we thought we would be heading into Game 5 in this series?
Well, I picked Calgary to win. Did I think it would be a 5-game win? No. I thought it would be more than that. But, you know, I kept saying all year long, we did a bunch of their games. You did tons of their games. I did a lot, but not as much as you. But I saw this team as eventually they're going to fall a little bit, falter. Not fall off, but falter, right? Well, and I learned as the season, you know, finished, not to doubt this team. They just have something going, and that something is unbelievable teamwork, great speed from the back end, and they've got this willingness up front to crash the net better than any team with skill, by the way, that I've seen regularly this season. And there's always somebody in front of the net when they score one of their goals. Always. Even if it's, you know, it's like there's just somebody always there. So did I think it would be a 5-and-done? No. Did I think that they would win? Yes, because of their ability to keep coming at you with relentless attitude, energy, and passion. And I, you know, in the series, Jonas Hiller, who hadn't been great in playoffs before, you know, really great. He's been really good. He's been really, really good. And I like the way that this team has come through. And look, Bob Hartley in that fourth line, or whatever line you want to call them, you know, the Ferland, Josh Joris, he has found a way to get them incredibly important minutes, and they have made such a difference for guys playing between 10 and, 13, 14 minutes a game.
I don't want to answer this, so I'm going to have you answer it, but it's a question that I want to ask you, which I have an answer for, but I don't want to say it on air.
Because?
Is Bob Hartley out-coaching Willie Desjardins?
Yeah, right now. Listen, his team's winning, so it's easy to sit there and say that. I think Willie Desjardins has been an amazing pick, and I don't think he's going to get enough credit come Coach of the Year time for getting his team to where they were. I think there's going to be other guys that will get a little more zip out of their team's performance, Bob Hartley being one of them. But I do think that Calgary in the series has been the better team. I just think they've been the better team. And because of that, I will tip my hat to Bob Hartley and say he's been, you know, the better coach so far.
I didn't think Vancouver would be in the playoffs this year. I really didn't. In my 3-1, I did not expect that. There are two teams here that I didn't think would be in the position they're in, but they're playing each other, and one team's up 3-1. So I can kind of see it, but you really can't. It's really no one in their right mind would see Calgary in the position they are in. And like you said, playing as consistent because of they wouldn't fall off, but they'd have reasons to slide. Bob Hartley is my coach of the year, first of all. And second of all, I think he's done an unbelievable job finding ways. He has a Stanley Cup ring from Colorado, which I don't want to take it away from him, but that team was unbelievable. Yeah. But you still have to find a way to get those guys to play. He's been able to do it with guys that aren't like that wouldn't have been on that Colorado team. He's been able to get those players that aren't as talented, as you mentioned, the third, fourth line guys.
He pushes the right buttons.
He's been unbelievable. He's been able to get so much more out of the guys that you didn't think you'd be able to get anything out of. That's a strong way of saying it, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. They have been, I think Bob Hartley has done an unbelievable job. They got to the playoffs. They're playing with the bank's money, but he's still finding ways to do it. The $50,000 fine, I loved it. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether you got fined or didn't get fined, it's a 7-game series. We're going to waste one here. And look what happens. Burrows, the next game, comes out and goes, you know, Bieksakon. He almost got Vancouver a little bit out of their game. Calgary can play that game. They're a meat and potatoes team. Vancouver now wants to play that game with them, which they're not. It's just little buttons to push. You said they mentioned not only pushing the right buttons on his team, he's able to find the right buttons to push on the other team to get them off their game. So, you're right. Willie's done an unbelievable job.
Willie's an awesome
But I got to give a lot of love to Buck.
Calgary doesn't have a lot of experience here, guys. They have a chance to close it tonight. Mm-hmm. Do you think they have the mentality to go into Rogers Arena and get this done tonight?
I can't doubt it. Meaning, because you look at the body of work from this team, and anytime I've doubted it in the past, they've proven my thought wrong. Anybody who's played at any good level, and I'm not saying you have to be a pro to understand this, because there's a lot of people that have played at high-level sports, even high school, with a team that just had it. Meaning that feeling of, we're in it together, we're doing it, we're not going to lose, we're going to figure out a way. We're not saying we're the best team out there, but we're saying that we're a team. And anybody that's played any sport understands that again. And so I kind of dismiss the notion, oh, the only way you can tell a team that has it is if you played in the NHL, the NBA, whatever, the NFL. No, my point is anybody out there that knows that feeling, that's what the Calgary Flames have. They just feel it.
I completely agree with you.
They completely feel this it. Whatever that is, it's winning. It's we're in it together. It's not luck either. Now, whether they win the whole thing or not, I'm not going there. I'm saying, but as a team, I can't doubt them. Is it going to be tough? Sure. I have a lot of respect for Vancouver and what they've done. But I wouldn't doubt Calgary being able to, you know, squeak out a 2-1 type of victory tonight in Vancouver. I mean, they just have it. I mean, you watch them and you feel, BJ, you feel like that this team at times shouldn't win games. But now I feel like they should. You know, I mean, I just feel like they should win games.
I'm not betting against them. Yeah. Why would we?
Yeah. Already had kids for a reason.
They've been they're spectacular. And you're right. They have that it factor right now that is.
It's a great feeling when you go into a game with your buddies, male or female, whatever. You go into it and you say, we know we're in it together. Yeah. We know we're in it together. We know we're going to do it. We know no matter what happens, we're not going to break. Even if we lose, we're not going to break. We're not going to fall apart.
Well, we'll see if the Vancouver Canucks can avoid elimination to the Calgary Flames. Another team that's looking to avoid elimination tonight is the Nashville Predators. They will take on Chicago. They're heading home in this series. And if there's any team that has the experience to end a series tonight, it's those Blackhawks guys. Does Nashville live to see another day?
It's a tough one. You know, I think a lot of things have happened to this team in Nashville that have just kind of, you saw it coming. The only one that really has been the biggest surprise for me is Pecorino's play at times. He's
not been great the last third of the season since he came back from injury. He
missed great all, in the triple overtime.
Missed all last year.
He's great.
Yeah.
Missed all last year. Has an unbelievable start. Everyone's comparing him to Price and the numbers and history and you know, the heart, and then gets injured again and then comes back. And as to Billy's point, he hasn't been the same since that injury. And I think it's followed him into the playoffs. But, you know, Mike Ribeiro is a great talent. During the regular season, it's tough for him to be your number one guy going down the playoffs, going up against Jonathan Toews every night. Forsberg, a young kid, rookie, a lot of goals expected from him. He's still a kid, and they have no Shea Weber. So
yeah, no Fisher and Weber.
Sorry, you're right. I left that out. Great point. No Fisher is a huge
against Toews. And how good is
huge
Marian Hossa, Toews, that line, and Saad? What is it, 12 points they have?
Unbelievable.
Of the Hawks, was it 24 total points? Again, I'm awful with numbers. Sorry. But 12 points is the line. Hossa, 5 of those are off his stick, assists. 4 of them primary assists. Marian Hossa is playing like a 26-year-old, not a 36-year-old. He is playing possessed. With that said, I think it's going to be tough for the Hawks to close it out tonight.
Nashville's very good in their own barn. They're very good
very
at
good.
Bridgestone Arena. They've been good there all Pekka year.
Has been great. No Weber. No, you mentioned Fisher. Thank you for bringing that. Like, he is a huge hole.
Yeah.
Probably top number 2 center in the National Hockey League, and he's not in the lineup.
If you're going to match against the Toews line, you need him, and you need Weber. And but I think the performance by Pekka Rinne in game four, the overtime, and I think that's going to help him in this game, give him some confidence. Otherwise, he was losing kind of containment, coming outside of his crease area more. I know he plays very athletic style, but he's missing out on a lot of things positionally, which was shocking to me. But I think the last game will help. It's going to be tough for the Hawks tonight. They still win the series, but it's going to be tough for them tonight.
It's going to be tough tonight? I don't know. I think Chicago's doing it tonight. I think it's done. That game's going to go 9:30 Eastern on Sportsnet 360. The Islanders in Washington over on Sportsnet at 7.
Washington.
And Tampa Bay and Detroit at 7 o'clock on CBC. Always a treat, boys.
Always.
Great night of action. Four games on tap in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We thank you for listening to Hockey Central at Noon on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network and on the NHL Network in the United States. We will wait and see what magic awaits when we join you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.